Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time, presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lartsburg and Harrison. You hear 30 minutes of nonstop sports conversation every Monday night on your hometown radio station, 6 to 6:30. I'm your host, Double T, Travis Theron. We are going to be featuring the Milan Indians boys basketball team tonight on the show, and we will get with those gentlemen here momentarily. But first, we want to get to the rundown and check on some of the hot topics that are going on here in hometown sports, and I do want to start with FC Cincinnati. I'm a huge fan, a season ticket holder, and they kicked off their second MLS season yesterday afternoon, and I wouldn't say that expectations are super, super high for FC Cincinnati after finishing dead last year, but they made some significant upgrades to their club, and boy, it showed, at least in the second half of yesterday's match. They kicked off on the road against New York Red Bulls. The first 45 minutes, atrocious. They couldn't keep the ball, kept giving it away in their defensive third, and they were down 2-0 at halftime, but credit to Yoan DeMay and the halftime adjustments, but because they came out and scored in the 47th minute, Alan Cruz getting them on the board, a good long ball down the left side, Brandon Vasquez, one of those new signings, played a nice ball into the box for Cruz to put it away. They had multiple chances to equalize that game, did let in a third goal as they're kind of committing more people up the field trying to get that equalizing goal, but how about Jurgen Locadia? He was the big signing coming over from the European Premier League, and you know, he's going to make somewhere in the range of $8 to $10 million, and actually scored on the debut and looked really good coming off the bench, but couldn't quite complete the comeback. But a 3-2 loss doesn't look too bad for FC Cincinnati, considering that they had such good attacking moments in the second half, and they played without one of their big additions, Siem DeJong, who is going to hopefully be with the team this Saturday as they take on Atlanta. But still, the defense was very shaky there in that first contest, but you should see more goals for FC Cincinnati this year, more wins, and should be a whole lot more competitive. They will take on Atlanta again on Saturday, and bad news for Atlanta, Yosef Martinez, one of the top players in the MLS, tore his ACL in their first contest against Nashville, so Atlanta will be without their head honcho, which could bode well for FC Cincinnati as they look to get their first 3 points of the year. Moving on, I want to talk a little bit about the Cincinnati Bengals and their offseason. Sure, we've been talking a lot about Joe Burrow, likely to be the number one pick in the NFL draft, going to your Cincinnati Bengals, and he said all the right things at the combine. There was big questions about whether he was going to pull an Eli Manning, try and force his way out of playing for Cincinnati, but said he wants to be the number one pick and he would be okay playing for the Bengals. And reports coming out this week that his meeting with the Bengals, he actually told team officials that they need to keep AJ Green, who is a free agent. They are expected to franchise tag AJ, which would pay him $18 million for one season. Don't know if they'll look to trade him perhaps, but it doesn't look like a multi-year deal is going to be there. If AJ's on the team, obviously he helps that offense tremendously, but he could be a great asset to trade away and get some draft picks as well. And speaking of the quarterback position and trades, Andy Dalton's name coming up, linked to the Chicago Bears, the Indianapolis Colts, and perhaps the New England Patriots if Tom Brady chooses to go to a different team. So we'll see how that shakes out, but I do believe Andy Dalton will be traded sooner rather than later. And Cordy Glenn's another guy on the offensive line that the Bengals are going to part way with, which is going to only help their cap space. They already have $44 million in cap space coming in to this offseason, and Duke Tobin stated at the combine that it's not a matter of if the team is going to spend this offseason. It does sound like the Bengals are willing to finally go out and perhaps purchase a couple big-name free agents. They can certainly use upgrades along the linebacker position and the offensive line. A couple of the outstanding linebackers on the market, Joe Schobert for Cleveland Browns. The Browns said they're not going to pay him. Joe Mixon's already actively recruiting him on Twitter. Blake Martinez, a good linebacker for the Green Bay Packers, are two of the names that I've seen pop up, and they would certainly be better free agent additions than the likes of Preston Brown and Kevin Minter, some of the guys that the Bengals have brought in on one-year deals over the past couple of seasons and didn't really work out. Also, on the offensive line, this is a big thing here, because if you can protect Joe Burrow, we just saw him have one of the greatest college football seasons there's ever been for a quarterback, and if he's protected, he's got weapons on that Bengals team. I know they only won two games last year, but if AJ Green's still there, you got Joe Joe Mixon. You got Tyler Boyd. You got John Ross. You got Auden Tate, who was a breakout star last year. There's some guys to throw the ball to on that offense. Joe Tunney, who is a guy that plays for the Patriots, 16 games last season, zero penalties, one sack allowed. He's a free agent. Anthony Costanzo, who played tackle for the Colts. Brandon Scherff, he's under 30 years old, so he's still got some good days left in him. Jack Conklin from the Titans. Brian Bulaga. There's a plenty of good names on the offensive line that could really help the Bengals. So I do not think it's inconceivable that this team could turn it around in a big way and compete for a playoff spot. Year one with Joe Burrow, I could see at least 8-8. And I know there's a lot of people out there in Eagle Country that think I'm crazy to think that. But if the Bengals can stay healthy, make the right moves in free agency, and hit on a couple draft picks, they will be in the mix in what I think is a wide open AFC. So time will tell on that. But I'm definitely putting myself out there saying that the Bengals have a chance to get back to relevancy this coming season. All right, let's move right along here and just want to talk briefly about some college hoops. We got three area or regional teams that are on the bubble. Two right here in the Cincinnati area. UC, a devastating loss at Houston yesterday. 22 offensive rebounds the Bearcats let up. That effort is not going to get them into the tournament. They got a couple games that they're going to need to win this week, starting at with South Florida coming up on Tuesday night. So a must win for UC. Xavier did pick up a win against Georgetown yesterday, so they're in a little bit better situation than UC or IU, and they also play in a stronger conference than UC. Maybe not IU, but the Big East very good this year, and Xavier's got an opportunity to get themselves into the tournament. I know they play Butler this week. I can't remember off the top of my head who the other game is against, but Xavier looking like they might be in the best situation out of the three teams. IU, two losses in a row. A competitive game against Illinois on the road over the weekend. Lost that game by 1 point, but they got Minnesota and Wisconsin coming up this week, and they likely need to win both of those games and maybe even get a win in the Big Ten tournament to solidify their chances of going to the big dance. I looked at Joe Lenardi's bracketology today, and he did have Indiana the last four in. So take that with a grain of salt, but none of these teams can afford many more losses, if any at all. And while we're on the topic of college hoops, get yourself over to EagleCountryOnline.com, sign up for College Basketball Pick'em, and you can win some great prizes, including the $300 grand prize. All you got to do is finish in the top three one of these, well, I guess this would be the last week of the regular season, so you're running out of time to win that big prize, so there is that. We want to get to a note on Mason Paris while we're talking about college sports. Mentioned this a little bit earlier in the broadcast. The Big Ten Wrestling Championship is coming up this weekend, March 7th and 8th in Piscataway, New Jersey, up at Rutgers. And Mason Paris is going to be the top-ranked wrestler in the 285-pound division. And we talked about some of these guys in this division. The Big Ten is absolutely stacked. Gable Stevenson from Minnesota, Tony Scipioppi from Iowa, and Trent Hilger from Wisconsin will be the biggest challenges for Mason Paris as he looks to stay undefeated on this sophomore season, maybe win a Big Ten championship, and who knows, maybe even make a run at the national championship. So we wish Mason the best of luck this weekend as he continues to do big things at the college level. And this is a great time of year as we have flipped the calendar to March. A lot of great sports action going on. We mentioned soccer season's underway. Baseball's getting ready. I mean, you got NFL offseason with the draft and everything. High school basketball going into sectional play. College is getting close to postseason. And before you know it, it'll be the NBA playoffs as well. So the Masters is right around the corner. So a lot of great sports action coming up, and including sectional week here in high school basketball. And why not welcome on our guest here tonight, the Milan Indians boys basketball team, back for the second time in however many weeks. But we have different voices here tonight, so we're going to let the young men go ahead and introduce themselves, your name and what class you are, what position you play on the team.
Carson Asherman, junior, shooting guard.
Josh Clark, point guard, junior.
Adam Norman, small forward, junior.
Peyton Wirt, point guard, junior.
All right, we got the whole junior class here and head coach Randy Combs. And we will start with you. I want to say congratulations on winning the ORVC, checking off a second box for some of those goals that you had coming into this season.
Sure. Well, we appreciate you having us again, Travis. And I guess it's a sign that you're having a good year when you get to come do the radio show twice. But yeah, it's great to win the conference, start of the season. We wanted to have a improved performance in the holiday tournament, in which we had. We wanted to win the Ripley County tournament, which was our second goal. Accomplished that. We wanted to win a conference. We did that. And obviously, we all know what the ultimate goal is, and that's to win the sectional. So we're looking forward to this Friday, to say the least.
All right. Well, first ORVC championship since the 2012 season, and we'll go through all the players here. And just how special of a moment was that to win the conference? I know your other teammates got to talk about winning the Ripley County tournament, but you guys get a chance to talk about how awesome it was to stand alone at the top of the conference. Whoever wants to take that first, go for it.
It was a pretty cool feeling. I mean, obviously, the Ripley County was probably a little more important to us, just considering the long drought that happened before us. But it was still a pretty cool experience, and just to check off another one of our goals that we had before this year, it was a pretty good feeling.
All right, Adam, you want to add on?
Yeah, it was a great feeling. We came in second last year, and that was a real bummer for us. So one of our goals this year was to come in first, and just being able to do that and being able to do it with the teammates that we came in second with last year was just a great feeling of coming back and winning it.
All right, I'll turn to Josh and Carson for this, let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4 of your last, 5 games were all conference games. So talk a little bit about that in general, playing so many meaningful games at the end of the season. Not only did you accomplish a goal, but you got yourself ready for sectional, I would assume, as well.
Yeah, I think having so many conference games at the very end of the season really helps build momentum going into the sectional rounds and play as well.
All right, Carson, you want to add on to that?
I think it is definitely going to help us going into sectionals, just because they're big, meaningful games. They're emotional. The fans are always packed. And I think it was good to win the conference, because I don't want to share anything with South Ripley or Jacksonville.
Absolutely. No, that's a good point. It's not as fun to win the conference when you got somebody else's name attached to it. I want to go back to one of the big moments that led to this conference championship, and it was a game that we had right here on Eagle Country 99.3. It was the Southwestern game. We know how good they've been over the last couple of years, and obviously it was a magical moment with Peyton making the pass to Carson, and then he had the game-winning shot, which was pretty awesome. So if you can kind of rewind and go back to that game, that had just had to have been such a neat feeling, and the celebration on the court in the locker room after the game, I'm sure that was an awesome thing to be a part of.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, because I mean, they beat us twice last year, one for the conference championship and one for the sectional championship, and the play was actually supposed to go to Josh, but yeah, I just saw Carson open under the basket, and I just chucked it up. Let him go get it and let him make a play.
Now, did you kind of hearken your football playing days with each other, just kind of trusting him to go up and get that ball?
Yeah, pretty much. My motto is throw it up high and let the 6'4 kid go get it. So,
all right. And Carson, I know I talked to you after the game. You kind of walked me through that whole thing, but let's relive it a little bit here.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, because I knew the play was going to Josh, and I knew that I have most confidence in Josh to knock the shot down, but I just told Peyton, I said, if he's not open, I said, I'm going to roll back to the other block. I said, if you have to throw it up, just throw it where I'm the only one that can get it. Look, I just had enough time to put one in, and we won.
And Josh, even though the ball didn't go to you, I'm sure you were still as thrilled to see
Absolutely.
Somebody else put it in.
A win's a win. It doesn't matter how you get it.
And Adam, how about you being out there as well, being a part of that?
Yeah, it was a great feeling. I think it was a point in our season when we knew we were ready to win conference and we were going to go out and win one.
And, Coach, I'll let you kind of go back to that game, too, because you guys actually had a pretty good lead late and kind of let it slip away. So what were you kind of feeling over there on the sidelines? Am I bringing up bad stuff?
Yeah, you stole my thunder. Yeah, we had, I think, a 9 or 10-point lead, and we're really playing well. And then we missed a couple of shots that, you know, we normally hit. And we let them back in the game. To their credit, some of the shots they hit were bombs. I got the question, well, why didn't you call timeout in that situation? And you know how it is. You played mm-hmm. where you work on those situations in practice, and we can basically get a shot off in less than 4 seconds, and we've practiced it. And Josh was open, by the way, but I'm not gonna second. You know, these guys have played together so long, and they had talked it out at the free throw line, the situation, mm-hmm. and I didn't have to tell them, and it's a credit to them that they saw the what needed to be done, and they executed it, and they went for the win. And yeah. That's what it takes at this point in the season. Your players are the ones that are going to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that about the Ripley County tournament, that, you know, they went out and did it. They wanted to win it, and they did it. I had very little to do with it. So.
And just one more thing on that win against Southwestern. Do you find that it's a little less pressure-filled to go ahead and play those final seconds without taking the timeout? I always find that interesting, how you feel about that from a coach or player's perspective.
Yeah, because, it's, I mean, to me it's just like another possession. If you call a timeout, you got everybody cheering and everybody talking in the huddle, and there's a lot of pressure just coming on you at that moment.
Yeah, like being in the moment, I think, would does that help you guys as players?
Yeah, just not thinking about everything that's on it, just playing basketball. It's just how it is.
Good answer there. And you guys have been really hot here in the second half of the season. Ever since we flipped the calendar to 2020, you guys have only lost two games, and you've won 11. So, Coach, I'll turn it back to you. What particularly has been going really well for Milan over these past couple of months?
Well, that was our pattern last season as well. I've always thought that our goal, when you're going in, you know, when you play a long season like you do, you want your team to be motivated and still anxious to get into practice and hungry at the end of the year. And these guys have done that. Our practices are full of just as much energy now as they were when we first got started, and a lot of, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with that, where a lot of teams maybe are kind of in a doldrum and kind of in some cases, sadly, waiting for the season to be over. We've tried to create that culture where we want to stay hungry for the tournament, and these kids have bought into that to their credit. So that's a big part of it. They're still hungry, and they want to keep playing.
Absolutely. We'll turn it back over to the players here and talk a little bit about the most recent six-game winning streak. A couple games on the road there and then three at home to end the season, but how have you guys been feeling when in the midst of winning all these games? I know it's kind of just a general question, but you got to be feeling good going into sectional.
Yeah, I think like the winning streak is the same thing last year as we got hot towards the end of the season, and like Coach has always said, he said we want to be playing our best basketball come down to the end of the season, and I think that's what we've done the last 2 years, and it's helped us a lot.
All right, Josh or Adam, you want to add on to that?
Yeah, I think like Carson said, we should be playing our best basketball at the very end of the season. I think that we've really accomplished that through practice and through each other, how we've been working together really well, and yeah.
Yeah, I think with every game we win, it just boosts our confidence, and we walk on the floor like nobody can beat us, and that's one of the best things about this team.
And one of the things I like about your team is you got a bunch of guys that can get involved in different ways. It doesn't always have to be scoring, although you guys do have plenty of good scorers out there. So does it make it a little easier on you guys knowing that everybody can kind of step up and make plays? You can even talk about some of your other teammates that aren't here if you would like to throw them guys a little bone out there.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier on everybody when, like, all the whole defense doesn't know how to react because you got guys that can go off any given night. Like Carter Wade, he's playing really good basketball right now. Even the guys on the bench, Matt Schmidt, Caleb Rainier, Josh, just giving us really good minutes. I mean, it helps all of us. And then you got the starting five, and all five of us can score 20 at all nights.
All right, and I actually wanted to go to you, Josh, because Coach has called you the sixth starter coming off the bench. So talk a little bit about your role and how much you like playing in that role, because you look like you're enjoying coming off the bench and being that spark.
Yeah, I really enjoy all these guys really just really push me to be in that spot to when like someone's not playing their best. Then I can always step up and do that.
Yeah, and I hate to keep going back to the Southwestern game, but Peyton and the foul trouble there, and Josh, you had to come on there late and play the last, you know, handful of minutes, but not a lot of drop-off there, if any at all, knowing that you guys got such great depth. And, Coach, if you want to talk a little bit more about the depth of the team and getting everybody in, that's got to be tough on you.
Well, yeah, I've said this earlier in the year. I feel like we've got seven guys that I really consider starters, and now, and I know Peyton mentioned Matt Schmidt, who the last 5-6 weeks of the season has really stepped up, and Matt has always practiced well, and he was just struggling in games of finishing, and to his credit, what he's doing in practice as we're seeing in the games now, and that takes some pressure off of Carter because I have utmost confidence in putting Matt in and knowing that he's going to get some things done for us. You know, I've watched our North Decatur, our first North Decatur game probably five times in the last 10 days, and Matt, you know, bless his soul, I think he had four or five putbacks that just rolled out on him, and I know when he gets those chances Friday night, that's not going to happen.
All right, and that's a good way to transition into sectional play. I say you guys got a good draw in the realm that you only have to win two games to win the sectional, but you do have a little bit of a lengthy layoff before that Friday game. So one more for Coach, then we'll get back to the players. How do you kind of navigate that?
Well, the players already kind of hit on it. It was nice having games at the end of the year that really meant something, mm-hmm. all the conference games. So that obviously added some incentive. And the other part that I really liked was the way our schedule worked out, where we played on Tuesday, and then we could go see our opponent on Friday, and we could just work on some things, just us for a few days before we needed to focus on North Decatur. And, you know, we came in on Saturday, and we did a little inter-squad, 3 8-minute quarters, had a couple of our coaches referee, you know, just to kind of simulate some game stuff, just mm-hmm. because most of our opponents had played on Friday night. So we did that. And these guys, like I said, they practice well. They're hungry every day at practice. And I'm not worried about the layoff for that particular reason. I know they're going to be hungry.
Very good. And I remember from last year talking to some of the players, do you guys still go out and do your own kind of scouting and watching the other teams when you get a chance to?
Oh, yeah. We all take our own little trips. I mean, just a little group of us usually go to wherever anyone's playing just to get a real life perspective on how they play and how quick everything's going for them.
And is that a good team bonding session, a lot of camaraderie there as well?
Oh, yeah. There's always never a dull moment with this team. It doesn't matter where we are. We always try to make it fun.
And it's just for the love of basketball, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the great things about this team, that we all just always can come together and do some fun stuff like that.
Cool. So you guys got North Decatur. We'll be a sectional semifinal on Friday, first game at North Decatur. And you guys played them all the way back on December 17th. It was at their place. And admittingly, this is when you guys weren't playing your best basketball. 69-64 was the score there. But is there anything that sticks out in your mind that you really learned from that game or you took from that game that you're looking forward to kind of righting a wrong in sectional play? And, Coach, you can jump in, too.
I mean, we just nothing was really going right. I mean, if we're being honest, and we only lost by five, and we're playing so much better than we were at that point in the season. We're just moving the ball better. We're all bonding better on the court together. Our defense is 100 times better than it was, and I think we're ready.
Does it help having that experience, though, early in the season, playing in their gym and maybe getting a little bit more used to the surroundings there?
Yeah, we know what it's going to be like now, especially North Decatur always has a good crowd. It's always a packed gym. So I think it's going to be the same thing on Friday night, but we're going to show up.
And you've had a lot of games in front of some packed audiences, of course, with playing those ORVC games, trying to win the conference, and I'm sure some of those tournament games were packed too. Is that an experience that's meant to help your team here late in the season, Coach, playing some of those holiday tournaments and having kind of quick turnarounds for games?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll be the first to admit, when we got in that rough spot right at the beginning of the year, I would have liked to have had a couple of weeks to right some wrongs, which we really didn't get a chance to do that. We just had to play ourselves through it. And that North Decatur game we played in the first time, we had 10-point leads in the first half. And really, we just had a spell in the fourth quarter where they hit some crazy shots against us, and we kind of didn't get back on defense and had some bad judgment on some shots. And they're a dangerous team because of the way that they can shoot it. I mean, I saw them play Rushville on Friday, and they just shot the lights out. But I know our guys, you know, understand that, and we're going to get out on them.
And they've they're coming into sectional hot as well. They've won five games in a row. So it is a interesting challenge that you'll have on Friday. And this is a really tough sectional overall. I was looking at the stats. The six teams have combined for the 11th best win percentage among all Indiana sectionals. So it's going to be tough anyway. You cut it, and always playing out there is always tough. But you guys have already got that experience. But another experience you had last year was playing Southwestern in the finals. So if you look back at that game, what can you kind of learn from being in that championship arena and coming away with a loss? How's that motivate you for this year?
I think it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. You don't want to feel that feeling again, especially after losing two sectional championships, one in basketball to Southwestern, then losing to North Decatur in football. It's not a good taste, and no one likes the experience of losing anyway, so we just don't want that to happen again.
Anybody want to add on?
Yeah, I think it motivated all the guys for this year, and I think everybody on our team is bought in, and they're ready to go this year. They want to win this.
All right, that's pretty awesome. So we got about 3-4 minutes left, so let's turn it over and have a little fun here. We like to open up for some lightning round questions. I know your teammates might have prepped you on this, and we don't always ask the same questions, so whatever they might have told you, we got some curveballs over here for you. But I want to start off, who's the funny guy on the team?
Adam.
Adam, for sure. For sure.
Tell us a joke. No, I'm kidding. All right, best gamer.
We're talking probably, like PS?
Probably Caleb.
Like video games.
Caleb or Carl. Caleb.
All right, I wanted to make sure because Caleb said he was the best gamer last time.
So he's pretty good.
I want to make sure he wasn't lying there. All right, if you had a team-wide three-point contest, who's the winner?
Adam Norman. Primary Caleb.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say Caleb. I think he shoots the highest percentage in games, so...
All right. I have seen Adam make, you know, six or seven in a game before, so I think he's got a shot as well. Coach, do you want to weigh in on that competition?
As you can tell, Adam never lacks confidence.
I thought maybe he was just being the funny guy. No.
All right.
How many times have you seen Hoosiers?
Oh, my goodness.
Too many.
Way too many. It's ingrained in our memories.
Is it to the point where you don't care for it, or you still love it?
No, you still love it.
Okay.
It's the point where you can say every single line. It's awesome. It's awesome.
I used a quote today during football.
Yeah.
I got that.
Well, I think it is an all-time classic. And, this is just kind of off the top of my head, but do you have a certain appreciation for being able to walk into the gym and see that 54 state championship trophy?
Absolutely.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because every time I come to Milan to broadcast a game or when I played, I always had to take a look at it, because it's just such a great part of history, so that's pretty cool stuff. What would it mean to you to win a sectional championship?
Oh, it would mean everything. I mean, this group of guys has been through thick and thin together. We've played with each other for years and years, and of course, we lost to them in football in a pretty heartbreaking loss, so it would mean a lot to everyone at Milan if we pulled this, especially this game out, but if we won the sectional championship, it would be awesome.
I think winning the sectional championship wouldn't even be so much about for our team, it'd be like for our town, just because it's been a while since we've won one.
Yep.
And I just think it means a lot to the town of Milan more than it does us.
That's a great answer. Everybody, I want to hear from everybody here.
I think from the Ripley County tournament what it meant to the town, I think it'd be the exact same thing with sectional, of how everybody really cared for it. And, I mean, you should see that parade coming home from that game. It was crazy.
Wouldn't be bad to get another one of those, right, Adam?
Yeah. Ever since we first walked into the gym in June, guys were hungry, and they were coming to work, and they wanted it so bad, and now it's time to go win it, and I think they're ready.
Well, it would be the third check mark for the three main things that you wanted to get out of this season. Coach, what would it mean to you? Because the last time that Milan did win the sectional, that was kind of your first go-around as a coach out there.
Yeah, and if there's a group that deserves, I think the one thing that you have to have, an intangible, is you have to have in the back of your mind as a player that you deserve it. And I think these guys have, like Adam pointed out, and all these other guys, when we started in the off season, this was their goal, and they know they've put the time in, and I feel like that we do have the best team, and coaches every year set goals, and it's just some years you have players that can achieve them, and some years you don't. And I felt like this year we had players that could achieve them. So we're going to try and win 32 minutes on Friday and then 32 more minutes on Saturday.
Well, we appreciate you coming in tonight to talk about your season and preview sectionals. We wish you the best of luck coming up this week, and there's a good chance that we'll see you out at North Decatur on Friday night and hopefully on Saturday as well.
Well, that's the goal, and like I said, Travis, we really appreciate you having us in.
No problem at all. Thank you, guys. You did a great job, and we can't wait to see what you do this week. And, of course, if you do win it, you can definitely come back and see us. What do you got for us there?
We brought you.
Oh, that is fantastic. You guys are the best. All right. That's unbelievable. I'm wearing that to work tomorrow. So this has been another edition of Crunch Time, and I do believe Milan sold out their tickets for the sectional game on Friday, but hey, you can still support them, hopefully right here on your hometown radio station as we potentially broadcast that game. And definitely wish them the best of luck this Friday at North Decatur, and thank you for listening to Crunch Time. You hear it here every Monday evening, 6 to 6:30. It is presented by Geppers Liberty Tax in Lawrenceburg and Harrison. Thank you for listening. So long and good night.